Dangerous Daryl, hello.
What's happening, guys?
Nothing much. Daryl's brought to you by Shavin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I ask you about Detroit coming up in a bit. However, Browns at 54. Will they move up? Will they move down? Will they stay in the same place?
I have no idea. Andrew Berry, though, likes to make trades, so I wouldn't rule them moving down so he can acquire extra picks. They have six. The six they have aren't that great, so I could see him maybe trying to get an extra second rounder or an extra third rounder for tonight.
We are so obviously focused on what kind of wide receiver, because it's a sexy position. And Ken and I talked about whether or not you'd trade up for wide receiver. Do you even see them taking a receiver at all in the second round?
It's possible. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think it's the four-alarm fire that all the analysts want to make it out to be. I realize that Elijah Moore and Amari Cooper in the final year of their contracts, but, it's possible.
Well, anything's possible, Daryl. What do you think? What do you want them to do?
I want them to draft a defensive tackle.
Okay. Now, hold on here. Now, I want to bring you in on this because Michael Hall is a local guy. However, Albert Breer was on yesterday, said there were red flags, teams that have taken him off their board. And I'm going, man, you walk around Streetsboro, Ohio, you say anything negative about Michael Hall, you're getting ready for a fight. So that threw me off. I mean, Daryl, they love that guy. They love him in Streetsboro. And I was shocked to hear that yesterday. And I go, that's not what I hear whatsoever. Now, I'm not down in Columbus. I've only met the guy a couple of times. Seemed like a very nice young man. So I hear that and I go, well, what are we doing here? It seemed like a hometown deal where you had Michael Hall who could possibly come to the Browns at 54 and everybody's going to be happy.
Well, let's be honest about it, Ken. Red flags really don't matter to the Browns.
That's true, but I tell you what, like when I was talking about Tavondre Sweat, these are things that we know. I mean, the DWI 3 weeks before the draft. Like, is it when you hear about red flags and then you're going, well, it is a hometown deal, would you risk putting him back with the hometown? Like, what would you do? Would you still draft Michael Hall? I still would, but, you know, I might be seeing it. I might be too close to the situation.
They were able to keep Kareem Hunt in line.
It's true.
And remember, you know what I mean? Like, I don't rule anything out when it comes to the Browns and red flags. They've shown the willingness to go up, add those guys with those to the mix. They've also shown the ability to rehab their images. I don't think, if there's red flags out there, outside of medical red flags, I don't think that takes players off the board for the Browns.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter with us right now, talking about the draft last night. You know, I found it very interesting. Six quarterbacks, seven wide receivers, one tight end. That's almost half the first round allotment, which means that the most talented non-quarterback, non-receiver players all got to fall. You saw Pittsburgh and Cincinnati get the offensive lineman they wanted. And then Baltimore ends up getting really the fastest corner in the draft. What did you make of what went on yesterday, especially in the AFC North?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of offensive linemen that were drafted last night. Protecting those franchise quarterbacks, became a priority. They said going into the draft that six quarterbacks were going to get selected. I didn't think that they were going to be selected in the first 12 picks. And I'm going to be real curious to see how many of these quarterbacks actually work out. I don't think this quarterback class is nearly as good, as these picks make them out to be, but, as far as the AFC North goes, it was a meat and potatoes type of draft, both the Bengals and the Steelers drafting offensive linemen to help out their quarterbacks. And then, as you alluded to, Anthony, the Ravens get the fastest corner in the draft to, add a piece to what is a very good defense down there in Baltimore. So, I think all three of those teams – not only address needs, but they got better, and the Browns will have an opportunity to do so tonight.
Daryl, you and I have been on the same side, definitely against Anthony Lima about the picks. Like, it's like, well, we got to do everything we can to make this team better now. And honestly, I don't know how many draft picks I want to stockpile for this year, Daryl, because, I mean, right now you got – how many positions are really up for grabs on this football team? You know,
there's no starting jobs up for grabs as we speak now. Yeah. I don't think that there's any backup jobs up for grabs right now. So that, to me, I kind of feel like the top 44 to 46 of the roster is set in, pretty much in stone, barring any offseason developments here. But, you know, Barry said last week, and I realized that press conference sound bites are not sworn testimony, but he did mention last week it just, you know, how he does approach this year's draft more so as a big picture type of draft, not so much focused on, you know, helping the 2024 Browns, but helping future teams from 2025 and beyond. And realistically, they have two decent picks at 54 and 85. Everything else is out of the top 150. And I view that the guys that they're going to get in the next 2 days as basically practice squad players, developmental projects. And if you happen to have a DeJuan Jones type of a player that, you know, comes along and shows you he's ready to play and contribute at a high level right away, then great. Obviously, you find a spot for him on the field. But just want to temper fans' expectations that, you know, they're not drafting their 2024 starters tonight at 54 and 85.
Where's Greg Newsom at the end of the weekend? Is he still a Cleveland Brown?
He should be a Cleveland Brown. I would not trade him. That's just my own personal take on it. I'd pick up the fifth-year option, maybe even try and do a contract extension with him as well. But I think, too, let's be honest about it, Greg has not always been crazy about his role. He likes to play outside more than inside. I think some of that obviously is financial driven, and you can understand that. Outside corners get paid. The inside guys don't get paid as well. I would hate to see the Browns trade him. They've got a really, really good secondary. Denzel Ward last week said that he believes that they're the best in the NFL between himself, MJ Emerson, and Greg Newsom. I'd like to see him keep the band together here in 2024. I'm going to say he's a Brown after the draft.
Daryl, do you prefer the old way of doing the draft where it was pretty much all over the weekend, mostly on Saturday, or do you like it now, prime time on Thursday, and then strung out all the way through Saturday?
I used to like it when they knock it out in a day, but I'm used to this new format that they have. So,
I just like, Daryl, that feels like more explosive things can happen when you have the thought of all of this stuff is going on in the same day. These teams have too much time to think about all this stuff now.
Well, I mean, you do one round, you get to sleep on it, you come back for day two, and you knock out two more rounds, and then you get to sleep on that. They have made this an event that rivals the Super Bowl with the traveling party. They had over, I guess, 250,000 estimated crowd there in downtown Detroit last night. Cleveland at some point, I expect to get another draft, is a little bit of a make good for the COVID draft since we got shortchanged here. I don't know when that's going to be, but I anticipate at some point Cleveland will put in another bid to get that back here. And my understanding is it is something that the NFL would be open to doing.
Will they give that to us instead of a Super Bowl after we get a dome stadium?
Whoa!
How about both?
Whoa! A double whoa!
Daryl! Hot buttered Daryl, baby! All right.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if they build the dome. Absolutely. Yeah, Super Bowl would be in play, in my view. The hotel thing would be an issue, though, because the NFL has very strict
hotels. You guys in your hotels.
Well, they have very – when it comes to the bids now, they have very strict guidelines as far as hotel room availability goes. And my understanding is that Cleveland doesn't meet those right now. But, you know, I think that you build a dome, certainly gives you an opportunity to bid on that, gives you a chance to bid. I think you can bid on the draft regardless of the, you know, dome or no dome. The outside of the COVID thing, they did a great job with the draft on the lakefront. And obviously, depending on what happens to the lakefront in the coming years, don't know if that's actually going to be available to host it again. But, yeah, and then you're, you know, the dome, you're talking Final Fours, you're talking college football playoffs, you're talking all those big indoor events to see cities like Indianapolis get on a regular basis.
Are the Cavs still going to win the series?
Ooh.
Oh, come on, Daryl.
Judas Priest.
I think it's coming back 2-2. I think it's coming back 2-2. That was a very bad sign last night. That you know, it's one thing to lose a game. It's another thing just not to show up. And there's just, I realize it happens in the playoffs. It shouldn't happen in the playoffs. And especially after what you went through last year, it shouldn't happen in the playoffs. You know, I don't know if Donovan Mitchell's banged up. You know, if he's got another injury here with the ribs or whatever, he wasn't real good last night. Darius Garland wasn't real good last night. That was a really, really disappointing showing. But I think this series comes back to Cleveland, tied at 2.
Man, I am shocked.
All right. Why are you shocked? What did you see last night?
It was a bad day.
What did you see in the first two games, Daryl?
It was a bad day.
Yeah, bad day is an understatement. And you think all of a sudden that bad day is going to get better on the road for them?
Yeah, I do. I think that some of it was an anomaly, depending on whether or not Donovan Mitchell's really hurt. If Donovan Mitchell's really hurt, then we got to say different things here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an anomaly because we've seen this movie before with this team, so... I still think they win the series in 6. I stand by that. I saw the TNT guys last night. They were talking about they think it's going to be a 7-game series. But, yeah, that was quite the showing by the Orlando Magic last night in their building.
I don't like this conversation anymore, Daryl.
I'd like to end it.
That's it.
Well, hey, I'm just – look, I said the Cavs are going to win the series in 6.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you mean that.
Yeah, I said that before the series began. So, you know, this is kind of, you know, going the way I
think you're telling me. I think you're saying that to me so I don't rip you after we get off the air.
No,
I know your games.
Go back to the, I think it was with Baskin and Phelps or one of the other shows this week. I said it was going to be 2-2 after 4 and everyone was going to be losing their mind.
It's a Friday.
The Cavs would win
that.
It in 6. No.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. I'm nonplussed.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're unsatisfied heading into your weekend, Ken.
It's a usual thing. Just ask my wife. Daryl, thank you.
Have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Totally disagree with Daryl. I like it on Thursdays. I like the draft on Thursday night. I like the spectacle of it. I do miss Pete Rozelle going up there and putting out a cigarette and then going up and talking. Or just letting it burn on a Sheridan ashtray while he does his pick, but I enjoy the spectacle Thursday night. I enjoy Roger Goodell looking more and more disheveled as the night goes on. Anybody else notice that?
Oh yeah. Well, I thought he was pretty disheveled at the start though.
Yeah, but it just I was like, gosh, every time he comes down that hallway, it's like, what is he doing? Did he get in like a fight with somebody?
I got Detroit, man. Again. What happens there?
Like it looked like he looked like a guy like in Vegas continuously losing at the craps table, and so now he just looked like by
going
the end of the
back
night
for lines of credit and hoping that that he turns it.
Give me another marker. Yeah, give me another marker. Have you called your wife, Raj? Shut up! Don't you tell me about my family. Give me another marker.
Do we know what year was it that the draft moved to this primetime Thursday? Because we understand it'll never go back the other way.
1977.
It's always going to be in primetime now, and if anything, they're just going to split up the first round over three nights. I mean, I just don't know.
Was it 2013 or was it before that?
I just missed.
I know the 2013 draft was on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I just missed the madness that was. Oh, my team has a whole new set of players all on one day. And it was such, everybody had parties. Everybody had people over. Thursday night, you really having people over on Thursday night? Just seems like that part of it's gone. I think some people go to the bars or whatever. It's the end of the week.
It's perfect.
I don't think it's like the old days. It was house parties. That's what everybody did.
Now, I really don't think as much. I like it where Saturday, it's laid back. The thing I don't like about it,
I think the draft is over for everybody by Saturday.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's laid back, so you get up. Like, tomorrow, I'm going to get up.
2010.
Wow, it's been that long. And tomorrow, I'm going to get up, and because I'm not going to go to bed till 3 tonight. And I'm going to get up, and I'm going to sit down, and then it's going to start to take over. And it's just a relaxed atmosphere. I agree with Mike Mayock. I wish they didn't do, like, manatees making the pick at the zoo. And stuff like that, because it's like somebody's dream is coming true here. Do we need to make a total gag out of it? Like, I can understand that. But I like it better where it's like, this is a big event on a Thursday, and I'm so fit to be tied with myself because I have the hiccups right now. So this really sucks. But
it's like what happens when I go home. I got both kids hiccups all day, every day.
They got the GERD?
Every day.
I mean, do they have the GERD?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know how to do the pat, and can you do that pat to kid?
I do the pat, but we also have this thing called gripe water, and seems to make it go away.
Really?
For a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe I'll tell Sarah to bring it in.
All right. What did Daryl say about the Cavs? Do we have Daryl on the Cavs? To send us on the Cavs? Sorry about that. Lima, I think I got my lines mixed up. Yeah, we have Daryl talking about the draft, by the way. We will get to that coming up in a bit.
If you'd like to hear Daryl talk about the draft, but pretend it's Daryl
talking
about the
draft. Yeah, let's just hear Daryl talk about the draft.
I anticipate at some point Cleveland will put in another bid to get that back here, and that my understanding is it is something that the NFL would be open to doing.
He also did say that the Cavaliers were going to come back in a 2-2 series. So you take your good with you, Daryl, you take your bad with you, Daryl, and you move on from that. Guys, I know you're upset. You can't think they're going to lose this series, do you?
I'm still holding firm. I think they're going to win the series. I think it's going to be 5 games. It was embarrassing yesterday, but in terms of takeaways, like I almost wonder, and we were talking about this before the show, like if it was a closer game and, you know, both teams are kind of throwing their best shots or whatever, the fact that one team played so well, the other team played the worst they could possibly play, that is why I actually, in a weird way, feel more confident about the rest of the series. And I know that sounds totally counterintuitive.
Mm.
But just the way that these series go and the way that the NBA playoffs go, teams now, especially with the three-point shot being so much a part of the game, you just have these eggs. And you're seeing more and more of it per series. You're seeing it everywhere. I mean, look at what the Celtics did to Miami in Game 1. Well, look what happened in Game 2. Miami hit all their threes.
I want to know.
And they won.
I know you guys are mad. If you guys want to vent, fine. I want to know if you really think the Cavs are in trouble. Because I do not think the Cavs are really in trouble. I think that this was a box score. This was a game that was so bad. I don't think you flush it. I'm not trying to say
I just don't know.
I don't, guys, what can you glean from it? What can you glean that's going to say that I'm nervous about it? Like, we had a caller earlier. I don't like Donovan Mitchell. Why? I don't like his leadership. I don't believe that. I think they're incumbent upon his leadership so much that they need him to be out there leading them because the other ones can't do it. They can't do it. So I think that he has to be the leader for that basketball team. The thing that would shake me, the only thing that it would, is if he ended up being hurt. If he ends up being hurt, then I think things are going to change there.
Yeah,
but everything
that would change. Now, he said after the game, you know, no big deal. You could see him wincing at times throughout that game. So it is something to keep an eye on, but you know, I'm to the point now, if guys are playing, you got to have expectations for him. Darius Garland, I mean, 5 points in that game. You know, what is his situation right now? He looked dreadful. I mean, this is a guy in a max deal who is just not performing. He had moments where he hit the three, and that was about it. But he has not been able to perform. It is very, very problematic. But, you know, you've got other teams, you know, they can't even get their stars in these games. Milwaukee with Giannis, and, you know, Kawhi missed game one of that series. Joel Embiid is trying to fight through and play, and then he gets 50 last night or whatever.
Yeah.
Even though he looked like he can't run or jump.
I know that plenty are mad, and fine. I'm not thrilled that they got beat so badly, but you look at it. Look at the box score. Just go back and see it. Evan Mobley, 22 minutes. Darius Garland, 31 minutes, ended up being 2 of 10 and 1 for 4 from beyond the arc. You can get everything you want and be mad at Darius Garland. Donovan Mitchell, I worry about his health. Obviously, that would change. But everything else, like, what am I supposed to eat? They were 8 of 34 from long range here. It's a bad day. They packed it in. And they'll hopefully get ready for tomorrow, and they'll make it a 3-1 series. And then we can really get ready for the Boston Celtics. If they come back 2-2 and Daryl ends up being right, you know, I think there's going to be some pensiveness there. But some people wanted me to go after you for being so positive. Some people wanted me to have some flaming vitriol over the Cavs, and I can't do that yet because they've made me look like a boob, both good and bad, throughout this entire year. I thought that there's times where they really turned the corner and would hit the gas, and I wanted to flip the switch, and they ended up embarrassing themselves. There were times where I thought that this was going to be a long slog and an ending and something terrible, and they ended up doing something great. I think that the reason a lot of people are mad is because they still don't know what the identity of this team is. They played so tough the first two games. I wanted to give them all the credit in the world, and I think for a lot of people, they're right back to square one. If they would have just been soundly beaten, and were doing what they were doing against the Knicks last year, I'd probably be a lot more upset, and I'd probably be going after Kobe Altman over that in roster construction. He lost by 38. 216-474-0092. I think it's a throwaway for me. Mike in Cleveland, hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
Listen, I don't know about, you know, Mitchell being hurt. I mean, you know, what about Embiid? I mean, didn't he have surgery? Embiid had surgery, correct?
I mean, you're talking about an MVP, Mike. Hey, Donovan Mitchell's a fine enough player. We can chant MVP. He's not going to be an MVP.
Well, but okay, but I'm just saying, Embiid's hurt. It's more serious than Mitchell.
Yeah, Embiid's a 7-footer. Embiid's a 7-footer, and he's a freak of nature. And well, Donovan Mitchell's 6 foot
two.
I would add that
was a decision. He went with PRP instead of surgery. Surgery would have been an option, but that would have made potentially ended his season. So the whole point was that Donovan was going to try to fight through this. And you know, we've seen spurts. We've seen moments.
Yeah, but I'm just sick of the team being a one-man team. If one superstar go down, the team is just an average team. They should still be winning.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, with LeBron. When LeBron was here, well, LeBron's hurt. He's not. We started losing. You know, the same mentality.
And
when one star's hurt, the team's no good.
And we can't put everything on Donovan the way we did with LeBron because Donovan's not the same player as LeBron. But that's the same point, Mike, and thank you for the call. That's the same point I'm making about the injury there, is that he does not have the type of wherewithal body that a guy – and Embiid's been hurt his entire career. But Embiid being a bigger body, being a more dominant force, you can kind of get away with it a little bit more. If Donovan does not have his type of burst and his type of flash to the bucket the way that everybody knows on the cut – then you're going to be in trouble. And we'll find out early tomorrow afternoon whether or not they're in real trouble or not. Because if he does not have the same type of burst, I'm going to take back a lot of what I'm saying right now, but I'll be worried about the injury and the impact of the injury. I don't know if I don't think I'm going to be worried about if they got toughness, if they are gone soft on me again. I hope I'm not going to be worried about that. I don't think I will be.
And look, this is the difference between, and we should know this, LeBron had some tough playoff series, believe it or not. I know most of it seemed to be just, you know, taking advantage of Toronto or, you know, the 60-win Atlanta Hawks. But there were some brutal series along the way. We know there are ups and downs. The hope is that Donovan Mitchell can channel some of LeBron and be able to laugh off a bad game because you know you can dominate another game. If he's not the best player in the series the rest of the way, if it's Paolo Banchero, then yeah, they are in big trouble.
Coming up next, maybe one of my new favorite owners in professional sports. That, and do you still think the Cavaliers are going to win it, or are Lima and I lying to ourselves? Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live in the family. That is the family of Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU, was taken by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey, they asked and she answered.
How far have you come?
Yeah.
And then
Lima, just 3 years ago, you were a single man living in Tremont. How far have you come now?
When the Browns make picks, the PR department, now I don't know if this is actually true. I assume it's true. Lima, you have bandied this about. When the Browns make picks, the PR department like immediately gets up there and goes, The Dog Pound is very famous here. Say you're excited to play in front of the Dog Pound. Well, apparently, Duval, the county that Jacksonville is in, is like their big calling card. They go, Duval.
It's ridiculous to me because nobody else cares. Well, nobody cares what county that you participate sports in.
I don't know if...
We all yell Cuyahoga.
You know what? We got to make it a thing. We are Cuyahoga because we can't just let him have Duval. No, nobody cares.
I don't know if Brian Thomas's mom doesn't care. She certainly doesn't know.
Enjoy it, you guys. You guys want to put out a Duval? You know, that's what they say in Jacksonville, like a really loud Duval.
What is that?
Oh, we're going to have to work on that.
So she knew. Who was that? Who was saying that? Do we know who that was?
That's
from
ESPN.
Was it Melissa Stark or the 30 reincarnations afterwards? So what happened there was she tried. She realized by judging the reaction that there was none, she tried to help out immediately. Hey, Duval, you know, that's the thing that they say over there. That, you know, she tried to bail them out, and it just wasn't happening.
So tonight at pick 54, should I immediately put someone on the spot and go, Dog Pound?
Dog Pound, Dog
Pound.
Tell us about the Dog Pound. Because you know these players don't even know that the Browns left and went to Baltimore.
Yeah, if Jarvis Landry didn't know, guys younger aren't going to know.
So you got to understand that. You can't even get mad about it. Nope. Like, they're not all going to be historians. Mm-hmm. I do think once in a while you get a player that cares about the history. Joe Thomas was certainly. But, you know, every year, especially when we take a quarterback, well, they've got to talk to Bernie. These guys don't care. They just don't care.
The guys who ends up being pros, the guys who end up being, they just are not fans like we were.
It's true.
And I mean, that's and it's not like now, it's generational. Like Dustin was a pro football player, and he did have family members who were in the NFL, so maybe it's a little different in how you're raised. It probably is, but it's like he was not like, oh my God, I love this team or that team. It wasn't like that. And I got to tell you, a lot of the guys that we run into as NFL players or whatever, They're not that way. They are not like, I lived and breathed the Indianapolis Colts. Like, no, it's really not that way.
Which is going to be weird for fans because when they were younger, the players were different. They did care. And a lot of teams just tried to draft guys that were within, you know.
Regionally,
because they got it and they always assumed it would be a good fit.
Yesterday, I wanted Andrew Berry, if he wanted to move in the first round, I wanted him to give Tony Khan a call, who is the son and basically one of the principal owners.
He holds a president role of something over there.
I wanted him to do that with the Jacksonville Jaguars and give Tony Khan a call because I woke up yesterday morning, and overnight on my phone, I see Tony Khan, who also owns All Elite Wrestling, which is something you may see. We've been to a show before, and they're on TBS. And I woke up, looked at my phone, and saw him taking a pile driver, a tombstone pile driver.
Oh,
which immediately,
well, it's not a tombstone.
Well, the marks got into my mentions, and I go, you guys, get outside. You watch way too much wrestling. That's coming from me. You were watching way too much, guys.
Wait, the guy who sits at home and just watches old Mid-South.
1984 Mid-South Wrestling.
The guy who has watched all of Smoky Mountain Wrestling because you have one free day every 3 months and that's how you spend it.
There's a very famous New Jack promo that you might want to go back and see at some point.
That's kind of topical.
That is a fan favorite.
It's topical lately after O.J. Simpson passed.
I got a little getting even to do.
So, anywho, I saw him take a pile driver, and I went, holy God, this is the owner of an NFL football team. Now, by the way, they're doing that because I know NFL Films is following him around for the weekend because he's, like, doing double duty. So it's good business for him. They show the draft room last night as they're getting ready to take Brian Thomas. Now, Nathan is a big wrestling fan, and we both know people. He knows more than I do, but we both know people in the wrestling business. Nathan and I were immediately distracted and freaked out when they show the draft room. We're on the air, and Tony Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, has a neck brace on. Like Vince McMahon from the steroid trials, neck brace, like a foam neck brace. And I'm going, holy God, kayfabe is alive. He's selling the pile driver.
Andy Kaufman
is who I immediately thought about.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well done. He's selling the pile driver, and I'm thinking, Nathan and I were going, I cannot believe he's doing this. This is amazing. And then Nathan goes, what do you think Doug Peterson thinks right now? When he's in the draft room, this is the biggest season they have for Trevor Lawrence. They're figuring out whether they want to pay him $350 or $400 million. And they're getting him a wide receiver, and one of the guys in charge has a neck brace on because he's selling kayfabe. He's selling his injury that happened on television the night before.
Is that
unbelievable salesmanship?
It is, and I think we would be outraged if that were Cleveland.
If we
had somebody that was a representing or had, you know, their sleeves rolled up to get to work every day, but it's not on your thing, right? I mean, how much bandwidth do you have? How much energy do you have to be in two different places? Like we talk about DePodesta, at least he's only working on the Browns, regardless of whether he's here or not. At least he's working on the Browns 24/7.
Like that, but
at least we think.
Since it's not my team and it's not my problem.
Yeah.
I thought it phenomenal.
It's hilarious.
I go, that's old school wild man sports owner stuff.
But you're
like,
but
that's old Bill Beck stuff.
Yeah, it is. You wonder though, in that building, like guys that are taking winning seriously, when they see that, you know, when Urban Meyer, I thought it was hilarious when he was in one of the wrestling promos or whatever.
It was in a pay-per-view.
It was during a pay-per-view. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Handing him a laptop.
But
Chris Jericho.
And it personalizes in a way, you know, the guys that we never personalize. But at the same time, is that what you want your football coach, like, paying any attention? I know it was the offseason. But do you want him paying attention to that at all? Like,
well,
it's,
no.
I know if that happened in Cleveland, we'd have full lines going, this is why the Browns don't win.
Oh, absolutely, we would. I'm not going to act like there wouldn't be that. But it also does highlight you're in an entertainment business.
Yeah.
As much as we want to say it's life and death, and it is, the job is to entertain the Bob driving into work right now. He's got 9 minutes before he has to clock in, and he's thinking it's finally Friday. Your job's to entertain them. That's what it is. It's to get as many eyes on as many things as possible. And I got to tell you, because it ain't my problem, I want my football team to win, and we've had plenty of distractions over the last umpteen years and things that we shouldn't be caring about that we have cared about at a time. But to look on television and to see, and I got Arthur Blank having to be explained to him how you've just taken a quarterback eighth overall who's not going to play at least for 2 years because you have Kirk Cousins there, and taking it very seriously, and then seeing another guy go up there with a neck brace on because of a wrestling spot that they did the night before. Not fake, choreographed. It's choreographed. It isn't fake. They're really slapping each other in the chest, you guys.
But this was just a work, right? This wasn't a shoot.
This is a work, not a shoot.
Thank you.
I love it. I think it's old-style salesmanship. I love it. It might make me tune in to watch live pro wrestling. It probably won't happen. I got a lot of things I got to do, and I got a lot of sports I got to watch. Like if the Guardians are going to play, like, there's no way I'm going to sit there and watch live pro wrestling.
Wow,
but,
boy, that's interesting. The Guardians are so good, they're going to ruin Ken's free time over the summer.
What are you trying to say? My free time is not.
I don't think he's saying anything.
Exactly what you said.
My free time is not ruined by watching baseball.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
Wow.
My whole point is when people tell me, like, did you see this or that? And I always say, I have to watch live sports. I don't get a chance to see it. And by the time I do have time on a midnight on a Saturday, yeah, I'm just going to turn on Mid-South Wrestling from when before I was born. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the Von Erichs in World Class. That's what I'm going to watch. I don't really.
I still got to see that movie.
Oh, that's right. Do you have any follow-up to that?
I still got to see the movie.
Oh, okay. I thought
you know what, Anthony? I still got to see that movie, too.
Coming up at 9:45, coming in hot. It's probably going to be an exceptional one. Coming up next, Andrew Berry needs to be thinking quality, not quantity. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on the Fan.